physically. When I was growing up, I used to hear people talk about the golden years. That's when you're retired and you got a lot of money and you can travel the world and do whatever you want to do because you're retired and you can live off your labor through the years. And as I have gotten older, and as people that I know have gotten older, I've realized that the golden years aren't all that golden. You might be able to travel, you might be in good health, but the truth is, as you get older, things begin to change. Aches and pains and pills and doctor's appointments and death of friends and loved ones and family and surgeries and operations and the like become a part of your life. And you have to learn to live with things that maybe you haven't lived with for a while. Time moves on. I was watching the children up here singing, and for those of you parents who had a child up here, and even those of you who have children that might not have sung today, appreciate the time you have with them. I can remember when our kids were up here, and two of them have graduated from college now, and the other one has a possibility of one day graduating. And time moves on. And while they're 6, 7, 8 years of age or whatever age they might be, invest into their lives. Enjoy your time with your children. Solomon wrote 3 books. He wrote the book of Song of Solomon as a young man. He wrote the book of Proverbs at his middle age. And as an older man, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And of course, the book of Ecclesiastes is looking back on life and things that could have been different and whole different perspective when you get older than you have when you're younger. And in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote these words that are familiar to a lot of people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before your strength fails. And then in chapter 12, in those first few verses, after that opening statement in verse 1, he begins to describe what happens as we get older. He talks about your hair turning white. He talks about your teeth not being what they used to be. Your eyesight, you're having to have glasses. You can't sleep through the night anymore. Going up and down steps becomes a chore because it seems to be a height and you're scared of falling. Your back begins to stoop and all these physical issues that begin to take place. And Solomon says to those in good health, remember your Creator now. I deal with people in our church that you know that are not as active physically as they used to be because their health is not what it used to be. Their minds are not what it used to be. And it's a tough situation to deal with. It's a change for them. It's a change for their family. And so Solomon's words echo even louder in my ears. Remember now your Creator. Don't let the year slip by. And as I've said on several occasions, don't let your good intentions become your sad regrets. Jesus knew the day he was going to die. He knew the exact time, and he knew the manner. Now, we don't know that. We don't know when we're going to die. Maybe if you have a friend has a terminal illness, you might think, well, it's just a few more days or weeks. We might know in that sense, but for most people, we have no idea. You come to church this morning, and maybe you got some aches and pains, and maybe you got some doctor's visit, maybe you take some pills, but you're not thinking, this is the last year I'm going to live. And yet we don't know that. But for Christ, he did. He knew that this week that we celebrate Easter was the last week of his life. We refer to it often as Holy Week, that last week before Easter. I think Mel Gibson made it famous, even though it was already known, but not by the majority of Christians, that this week is also called the Passion Week, the time that Christ would suffer for us. And in Luke chapter 9, in verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, this is probably on a Friday night before Good Friday, before Palm Sunday that we celebrate today. Christ has been up in Galilee, and he's making his way down Perea, down the eastern side of the Jordan River through Samaria and down to Jericho, but he knows he's going to Jerusalem. Now, he's 33 years of age now. He was born in Bethlehem, just a few miles from Jerusalem. I'm sure he had been there many times as a boy and as a teenager and as an adolescent and as a young adult. In his public ministry, he had been there. But this would be the last time he'd go there, at least in life. He'll come back there. But he set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what that meant. He knew, unlike we know, he knew this was the last week of his life. He knew this would be the last time he'd go to Jerusalem. He knew his disciples would desert him, the crowd would turn upon him, the soldiers would flog him, and he would experience the wrath of God on the cross. He knew that. And yet, in spite of that, he set his face, he set his heart, he focused his priorities on going to Jerusalem. He would go to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He would stay there for several days. If you have Jerusalem Hill here, and then the Mount of Olives, I sort of call the Hill of Olives, it's not real big, the Mount of Olives. And then on the back side of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles away, was Bethany. And that's where Jesus would go, and that's where he would spend the nights and sleep, and then he'd make his way to Jerusalem during the day. Today, we call this Palm Sunday. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then Holy Monday. And then Holy Tuesday. And then some people refer to Wednesday as Spy Wednesday, S-P-Y. They believe that's the day that Judas made the agreement to betray Jesus, even though it wouldn't be till Thursday night. That was when he met with the Sanhedrin. Maundy Thursday, you've heard that term before. That was the day of the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about that. And then Good Friday, the day of the crucifixion. And then Holy Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. Those are sort of names that are given for these days of the week, this Holy Week, this week of passion that Christ would go through. And so what I wanted to do today is just share some thoughts from this week. I'm not touching on everything that Christ did. I didn't bring it up here with me, but on the back shelf, as you go out the door on the right, like the window that goes into the kitchen, I have a set of papers there. There's 2 pages, it's front and back, and it talks about what happened on each day of the week from Sunday to Sunday, at least to Saturday. And there's verses that go along with it. The account in each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are put side by side. And I would encourage you maybe to pick one of those up today. And today on Sunday, just read through the verses that took place on Palm Sunday. Now, when you look at the list, it's going to go, man, this is 4 pages of stuff. I didn't have a time. But some of them are just a verse or two. And then another thing that Christ did, another verse or two. So most of them are not longer than a few verses or at the most a chapter. Some maybe a chapter or two. And just read each of those each day. I think it'd be good to read through it individually, but it'd be great if you came together as a family and said, you know, this is Holy Week. And this is something we normally don't do, but let's just get together as a family and let's just read what happened on that day and think about it. Maybe take 15 or 20 minutes and work that into your schedule. I'm glad he worked us into his schedule, aren't you? So I'm not using any slide today, so I just see Hebrews chapter 12 up there. He set his face on Jerusalem. He determined to go there. Let me ask you, as we sort of begin down some thoughts about this week, what is it that God has been speaking to you about doing in your life? Maybe in the last couple days, or maybe in the last couple weeks, or maybe the last couple months or years, there's just sort of been this gnawing at your heart, a tugging at your heart by the Holy Spirit about some things that he's been wanting you to do, and you've been thinking about them, and you've been concerned about them, but you haven't quite made them a part of your life yet. And like Jesus, you might have to set your heart toward Jerusalem. You might, it might be in your personal life. You know, I used to read the Bible, but I sort of got away from it. I remember last August when we talked about the I-95 challenge and praying for the church 95 minutes a week. You know, I got in a habit where I was doing that for a while, but I sort of stopped doing it. I've been thinking I need to get back to praying more than I've been praying. Maybe it's coming to church and getting involved in church or ministry or giving or something in your personal life, some habit that you know you need to let go of. And it just seems like the Holy Spirit just keeps bringing that to your mind and to your heart. And I would encourage you, like Jesus, if God is speaking to you about doing something, do it. The cross was not easy. This week was not easy in the life of Christ, but he determined that's why he came. When you read in the scripture, mine hour has not yet come, mine hour has not yet come, and then later, mine hour is here. It's not talking about a 60-minute period of time. It's talking about the event of this week, and especially the cross. That's why he came. He taught, he loved people, he healed people, but the main purpose of his coming was to go to the cross. And when the time was right, he knew this is it, this is the time. And for us, this might be the time. Maybe it's in your personal, maybe it's in your family life. Maybe it's a situation with your husband or wife you just hadn't made right, or with your kids or in-laws or relatives or bosses or co-workers. And you think, you know, I need to broach this subject and it's not easy and I don't know how to do it. I prefer not to do it, but it just seems like the Holy Spirit keeps talking to you about it. You know, you need to make that call. You need to write that letter. You need to make that visit. You need to touch base with them. You need to bring it up. You need to deal with it. You need to make it right. I don't know what the Lord's speaking to you about, but just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And then we come to Palm Sunday. That was probably Friday into Saturday. And then on Sunday we read in, let me just read a verse to you from John chapter 12 and verse 13. People took palm branches and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Now we see that word a lot during this season. And the word simply means save now. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now this is on Sunday, the week before Easter, Palm Sunday, which we celebrate today, or we think about today. Christ had been in Bethany, the other side of the Mount of Olives. He now mounts a donkey and he rides it over the Mount of Olives, down the hill, and into Jerusalem. And the crowds saw him coming. Maybe they thought about Solomon, who rode his dad's stallion down that same path into Jerusalem when he was coronated as king. And you'll remember, and we've talked about this before, the Jewish mindset was Christ is going to come when the Messiah comes, when the Anointed One of Israel comes. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to overthrow Rome. And it's going to be a great day. Even the disciples believed that. They didn't fully see the cross and his death, even though he had talked about it. The mother of the disciples, you remember, said, is it okay when you come into your kingdom, one of my boys sit on your right hand and the other on the left? They were thinking it was imminent. He was coming in his lifetime. That seemed to be saying what all the Old Testament prophets predicted. And so when these crowds picked up these palm branches, which was like the national symbol of Israel, maybe like us waving an American flag, and they began to wave these palm branches, they were saying, save now, save now. Not spiritually, save us from our sins, but deliver us from Roman oppression, set up your kingdom. We are behind you. And understandably so. The problem came as he entered the city of Jerusalem when he didn't overthrow the kingdom, the government, when he didn't set up his kingdom. He didn't do what they expected for him to do. And when he didn't do what they wanted him to do, within 1 week, the same people that were saying, save now, were saying, crucify him. The same people that were saying, we love you, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, were saying, cursed be you, you blasphemer, you deserve death. I thought about what application from that. As you mature in the Christian life, you begin to realize that God doesn't always act and work in ways that you wish he would. There's times that things happen in our life that we just don't understand. It doesn't even seem right. And that's what the Jews were thinking in Jesus' day on Palm Sunday. I mean, you pray for your grandmother or your friend to live, and then they die. And you think, God, I prayed like never before. Why did you let that happen? And then in your 30s or 40s, you're diagnosed with some heart disease or cancer, and your life expectancy goes way down, and you're thinking, I'll never see my kids graduate from high school. I want to walk them down the aisle. I'll never be able to do that. The husband or the wife that you held their hand years ago and took vows before God, they left you. And you prayed that God would heal that marriage, and it didn't happen. You show up at work and they tell you, we're closing the plant, or we're going to have to let you go. We're downsizing. And you're thinking, God, that is not what I thought was going to happen. And there's times in our life when things happen and we wonder, why did God allow it? I heard that so many times in 9/11. If God is a God of love, why did he let this terrorism hit the Twin Towers and all of those innocent people die? Where was God? I don't know all the answers to those questions, but I do believe that God is sovereign, and he can do or allow whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and can involve in that process anyone or anything that he chooses, and all that he does is right. You say, Pastor, do you think God caused the Trade Center bombing? Absolutely not. But he had to allow it, right? I mean, a God had to allow. Nothing happens outside of what God allows. But this world is evil, and he doesn't stop all evil. One day he's going to come and set up his kingdom in righteousness. But if you're only going to serve God when things go the way you want them to go, that's a pretty weak faith. When I deal with setbacks in my life and when things don't happen the way I thought they were going to happen, I often think of the course of that verse that says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. And that's a very valuable lesson to learn, that God can be trusted. You see, the crowd thought he was making a mistake. The disciples thought he was making a mistake in going to the cross. But we know that was the greatest sacrifice he could have ever made. Because if it wasn't for the cross, we would have no chance at heaven whatsoever. But now, if we trust what he did, we can be sure of heaven. It didn't look like that on Palm Sunday, but it sure looked like it on Easter Sunday. And there's things in your life that may not go the way you want them to go, and you may not understand them, and you may never understand them this side of heaven. But God still works all things together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. And we can trust him and be faithful to him even when we don't understand what he's doing. And some of you may be there right now, and if you're not there now, you might be there next week or next month, because things in life do not go the way we always want them to go. It's not true in marriage, it's not true with kids, it's not true in our job, it's not true in our church, it's not true in our personal life, but we still have to trust God and believe that he's got a better purpose that we can't understand. Well, Wednesday, as I said, is called sort of Spy Wednesday because it's believed that that's the day that Judas agreed to betray the Lord. But I want to move to Thursday just a minute, that Maundy Thursday. That word in Latin means to command. And so for some denominations, when they talk about what happened on the Thursday, they're thinking about the Lord's Supper It was really Passover that we also call the Lord's Supper. We also can call it communion. But the Lord met with his disciples on that evening of Thursday, and as a part of that meal, and I'm only highlighting a few things out of each, maybe one thing out of each day. You remember he girded a towel about him, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Not just because they were dirty, though they were. He was teaching them a greater principle, and that of humility. We need to serve one another. And so the word, the command, the word in the Latin that means to command Thursday meant that Jesus commanded his disciples to love and serve one another. So you may see some denominations, or you might see it or hear it in the news, that on Thursday of this week, there are people that will go out and they will give to the poor. They will share alms with the poor, or pay a bill or something in serving other people. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do that. If the Lord lays on your heart to do something like that, of course do it, and many of you do. But I want us to understand that we've got to think beyond ourselves. Because for many of us, myself included at times, our life can get wrapped around what we do. I got to get up and go to work today. I got to come home and do this at the house. I got to take care of this chore. My kids are involved in this. I got to be there. I got to watch them. I got to take them to a practice. I've got to do this with my wife. I got to do this at church. And I'm not saying any of these things are bad. I'm just saying if we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in ourselves that we'll forget that Jesus said that we need to reach out and love others. There are people in the hospitals that need to be visited. There are people in nursing homes that some, and I have visited nursing homes before, they have no family ever come to see them. There are people that were faithful to our church, but because of health issues, they can't come out anymore. There are people that were faithful to our church, but because of personal things in their life, they've gotten away from the Lord. There are neighbors and co-workers that you have that don't know Jesus Christ and are headed for a Christless eternity. We can't reach everyone, but we do need to be involved with the people that God lays upon our heart. I saw an acrostic years ago for joy. It said, Jesus first, J, others second, O, yourself last. Y, if you want real joy, put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. I'm afraid in my life sometimes Jesus and me sort of run a tight race on who gets priorities, and others are sort of way down somewhere. When asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And the second's likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. We didn't even get in the picture. I'm going to share this some in our sunrise service. So let me just sort of give you a preview of it now. I would say most of us have friends, especially relatives, maybe a brother or a sister or a child, that lives distant from us. They live in another county or in another state or maybe in another country, and they're far away from us. And we all know people, maybe even our relatives and our kin, that aren't Christians or at least are not living for God. And I pray this, I hope you do, for some of my relatives. God, I pray that you'll work in their life. Bring somebody into their life to share with them the gospel. They might be saved. You ever done that? You ever thought about loved ones that live far off, maybe a child or a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad, and you just pray from time to time that God would bring somebody into their life? Do you know there are people that live in other counties and other states, and they've got relatives that live in our area? And they may be praying the same prayer. And think about how selfish it is for us to ask God to send somebody to them when we won't go to the people here. I think about that sometimes. Why would I want God to send somebody to my uncle or to my family members and share Christ with them, and I'm not even going to people here? If you want to hear the rest of that, come back next Easter Sunday to the sunrise service. I'll talk about that. We've got to think of others. Now, beyond being nice to others and opening the doors and helping with some chore around the house, those are great, and we do that. I'm not saying we don't care about other people. We do. I know you do. I've seen it in your life. But I'm talking meeting their deepest needs spiritually and helping them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, then there was Good Friday. Good for us, tough for Christ. He was kept probably in a dungeon in the high priest's house overnight, Thursday night into Friday morning. He was then taken from trial to trial, mock trial, and finally accused of blasphemy and was condemned and was beaten and was placed on the cross. But he'd already set his heart toward Jerusalem. This is why he came. He was given his life for the souls of men. He was dying for our sin. And when he had fully paid our sin debt, he said, "It is finished." And he died. I had a lady come up to me after the early service today, and she said, "You know, I don't know that we think enough about the fact that he gave so much for us. What are we given for him?" It's a good statement. Jesus told those who would follow him, "If you really want to be my followers, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me." We can never match the sacrifice of Christ. It's impossible. But what are we doing for the Lord? Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. He set his face to Jerusalem. "I'm going to do what God's called me to do, no matter what anybody else says, no matter if anybody else follows me. I'm going to offer myself as the King of the Jews, understanding that many of the people who are going to welcome my arrival only want me for their own personal gain and benefits. And when I don't do what they want me to do, they're going to turn on me. I'm still going to the cross." Monday, he cleansed the temple. Didn't even talk about that. He overturned the money changers. This was the second time in his ministry that he did it. He did it at the beginning of his ministry, and he did it at the end. What does that mean? Well, you remember there were animals that had to be sacrificed, and they were sold in the temple area, and there were certain coinage that had to be bought, and they were overcharging for it, and the people were getting ripped off, and it was really keeping people from worship. Now, I don't see that in our church today. I mean, in our setting, people are not doing that. There was nobody sat outside today and say, "Hey, if you want a front row, it's going to cost you $50. Well, we got very little money from that anyway because everybody doesn't want to sit on that seat. But, you know, hey, if you want to worship today, you want to buy a hymn book, you got to buy it outside. Well, we don't deal with that. But I think we do deal with pride, you know. We come to church and we think, you know, well, nobody said hi to me today. Sorry about that. I wish they had have. They should have, but that's not why we come to church. We come to church to worship God. You know, it was a little hot in there today. It was a little cold in there today. You know, where I parked out in the grass, they didn't get all the snow up. You know, the music was a little loud. You know, it was a little soft. You know, they should have sang this song. You know, they should have sang the other song. I don't know why they didn't get me to sing. You know, my child, when he was on stage, he wasn't in the middle. Really? You know, I came over here early this morning, shoveled snow away from the church, and nobody said thank you, and I'm never doing that again. Is that why you did it? For people or for God? Why do you come to church? Is it to worship and serve God? I mean, all the other things are good and important, and maybe some things can be done better, and maybe some things can be addressed. I understand that, and we need to hear that from time to time. But are we really coming to worship God or to find issues that we don't like? It's So many people, they're this church this year, they're that church next year, and they're that church next year, and then 3 years they're another church. Why? Oh, we're not happy. They're not meeting my needs. My goodness, why are we going to church? Aren't we going to worship Jesus Christ? I mean, when problems arise, can't we work them out? We talked about that last week in Matthew chapter 18. That was extra. Y'all had to pay for that. I wasn't even planning on saying that today. I heard a preacher said, I preached about 30 minutes, God was in, and then I added about 45 minutes in on my own. Well, I might have done that right then, but Thursday, serving others. Friday, paying the ultimate sacrifice. He died. But on Sunday morning, he arose for our justification. Praise the Lord. So this week, Holy Week, the last week in the life of Christ, pick up those papers as you leave. Individually, as a family, read about what he did. And think about how that should affect your life and what you can do to honor him. He lived to be 33. We don't know how long we're going to live. But however long that is, may we serve him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Christ, thank you for this day. Thank you for this week and the meaning of this week. And help us to be in your word this week, learning about what you did and how you went about this last week of your life. And help us to put aside the things that are temporary and really have no eternal value and give ourselves to eternal principles, whether it's our personal growth in Christ or sharing your love with those who don't know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.